love this kind of teaching because I think it's so fundamental to the kingdom of God, who we are. It answers a lot of questions about what happens in our life and how we can take a bad situation and turn it to a good situation. You know, there's, when bad things happen, that's not the end result. We can always turn it around. And it all has to do with our root system. And sometimes we need to pluck up bad roots. We need to replant, get good roots in us, because good roots produces good fruit. Bad roots produce bad fruit. That's why we have to be born again, is because basically man is not good. Basically man is evil because of the fall. We're selfish, we're self-serving, we're self-seeking. We think about ourselves more than we think about anything else. We want what we want. We're lust-driven in so many areas of our lives. We don't glorify God. And that's evil, because we were created to bring glory to Him. That's why we were made. We're the only creature that was made in the likeness and in the image of God. And we were created to glorify Him, to make Him great in the world. And for reasons, you know, that reason could be fear. You know, fear is selfish. Did you know that? Fear is selfish. And a lot of times we're more driven by fear than we are other things. See, fear is a bad root. Worry is a bad root. Sometimes we think, well, that's just my personality. No, it's not just your personality. Your personality was given to you by God. Sin corrupted that. And there are certain things within our makeup that we can change. And all of those things that God put in us can bring forth good things. Good things. Good fruit. And we were made to make good fruit. And our text, our main text for this is in John chapter 15 and verse 5. Jesus says, I'm the vine and you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. All fruit bearing comes, all eternal fruit bearing comes because of a relationship that we have with Christ. Now today we're going to talk about religion or relationship, because there are people who have religious roots, and you know what they produce? Religious fruit. And you say, well, isn't that good? Well, when Jesus didn't really come to start a religion, he came to give us a relationship. And we substitute religion for relationship. That's not good. That's not good. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, because, see, religion is man's effort to get to God. Religion is man's effort to get to God. Relationship through Jesus is God's effort to get to us. And there's a big difference. There's a big difference. It's sad to say that in America, a lot of our churches are full of religious people that really don't have a relationship with God, because they have substituted religion for relationship. And one of the reasons that we don't want relationship is because there are certain things in our lives that we're comfortable with. We don't want to give up. And we know that a relationship would change us from the inside to the outside, but because of our selfishness, because of our lust, there are certain things that we just don't want to give up. And so we go through the motions of a religious thing, and we sacrifice relationship with Christ. Also, it's the Holy Spirit that draws us to Himself, and He convicts us of our sin. Now, you either have to accept that conviction or you can reject that conviction. So when we submit our will to God and give him lordship over our lives, we have a relationship with God and are saved. Okay? I want to read some verses this morning, and it's going to kind of describe what we're talking about. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. And, you know, this is kind of scary, but when you understand what's being talked about here, we see that it's not quite that scary. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of the Father in heaven. Now, that almost sounds like that God is saying, okay, you've got to perform in order to know me. You've got to perform in order to get to heaven. But there's a verse in John 6:40, and this says, and this is the will of God who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And really what he's saying here, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will. What is the will? The will is that we believe on Jesus Christ and what he did for us and not trust what we do for ourselves in order to try to earn a relationship with God. You cannot earn a relationship with God. It's faith through Christ. It's faith through Christ. And I hammer at that because there's people who go to church that just think they're okay because they go to church. They do good things. But he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of God. Verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name? Do you see what their theology is? It's a works theology. A lot of people have a works theology. Now, there's some folks that have what I call a liberal theology. And it's basically a works theology. I'm okay, you're okay, let's just do good and we'll all be okay. That's a works theology. Then you got this legalistic works theology over here. And, you know, if you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you don't do this, you're going to hell. If you're not baptized this way, you're going to hell. And it's, so we have a plethora. That's a good word, isn't it? A plethora of range where this kind of theology comes into play. And, you know, there's some people think it's all about doing good in society, feeding the poor. Is that good to do? Sure it is. But does that earn you a relationship with God? Volunteering at church, does that earn you a relationship with God? Teaching Sunday school, whatever it is that you do, being a pastor, does that earn you a relationship with God? No. No. We have to believe on Jesus Christ. So these people say, hey, Lord, hey, we've prophesied in your name. We've cast out devils. They sound Pentecostal to me. We've cast out devils in your name. We do this in your name. And the sad thing is, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Wow. Had they not done good things? Did they not do good works? I mean, these are not people out raping and murdering and killing and all of those kind of things. These are not those kind of people. These are people that are out doing good things. But he calls them workers of lawlessness. Why? Because they have rejected God's only means of having a relationship with him. They have substituted religion for relationship. Now this is kind of heavy, but it's true. And the reason that we want to end this series with this is because, You know, this whole series is so that we can all examine our hearts and know that the good things, the good roots that are in us, that become established in us, you know, the roots go down and guess what? The fruit comes up, doesn't it? The good roots go down deep. We talked about being established in the house of God. It says they that are established in the house of God will flourish in the courts of our God. See, when you have a relationship with Christ, if we do it right, we're going to have a good relationship with the local church. We're going to be planted. We're going to have deep roots. We're going to be a part of the house. We're going to be a part of the fellowship. We're going to do good things. And there's nothing wrong with doing good things. We need to do good things. But we just don't need to trust those things to save us. They can't. In fact, it tells us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that we can do falls so short that it's called a filthy rag. Wow. Now, that's not the murderers and the rapers. That's the folks that are going through the motions, that are being religious, that are doing the good things. The scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Essenes in the New Testament, their righteousness was as filthy rags. Why? Because they were trying to earn a relationship with God. They were substituting something that they could do with what God presented as His way. You know, it's sad because the Bible says that Jesus, see, the Jews believed in Messiah. They were looking forward to Messiah. They knew that when Messiah would come, that they were going to be delivered, that Messiah was going to be their salvation. And the Bible says that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Why? Because they were religious. They were religious. They had a system of religion where they were trying to make a way to have a relationship with God. And when the answer to their laws and their prophets, when He was manifest, they were so religious that they couldn't see it. See, we've got folks today in churches that are so religious that they don't see their need for Christ. That's sad. That's sad. So are you condemning those people? No. I were one. Folks, I cannot remember a time. There has never been a time that I remember that I have not been in church. My mama, sitting back there, my mom and daddy raised me in church. I went to church when I didn't want to go to church. I did not have a choice. We're going to church. I remember Dad, you know, he gave us kids, I hope Steve got a dollar, but I got a dollar. Did you get a dollar? He didn't get a dollar. Dad always liked me best. But, you know, you know, we got a dollar allowance a week. A dollar? What would that buy? Dude, that'd buy 20 Hershey bars then. You know, Hershey bars were a nickel. Yeah, soda pops were a nickel. You could buy a lot, and I bought lots of Hershey bars. I mean, it shows. I bought lots of Hershey bars. But one thing Dad taught us is, says, hey, 10% of that goes to God. So every week I got my dollar. Every week I had to take a dime of that dollar, and I had to give it to the church. I was raised in church. I was raised in a Christian family, in a Christian church. Ours was a good church. Now, I was in a kind of a liberal denomination, but our church was a good church. Every Sunday, went to church, come home, went to church, come home. And you know, in all of that, I did not know Christ. See, I don't remember. I may not have been paying attention. The only thing I remember about going to church is that we had this pastor. And we had a bulletin that had all of the liturgy in it. And, you know, that had a little, if it had a little star by it, when we got to that part of the service, you stood up. And then when we did this, we did responsive readings. But there was one thing that I always remember, this particular pastor that we had, Brother LeGrand, and it was called the pastoral prayer. And we used to sit back there and time his prayer. He prayed for 5 and 6 minutes. We would time him. That's what I remember about church. I knew that if I showed out, that when I got home, I was going to be in trouble. I was raised in church. I've always been in church. And I went to church all of my life and did not know Christ. I was religious. I was doing all of the things that you're supposed to do, and I didn't know Christ. It was that same pastor that when I got 13 years old, he came to me and he said, "I want you to think about joining the church." Now, he didn't ask me, "Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you repented of your sins?" He didn't ask me that. He says, "I want you to think about joining the church." He must have assumed that I had already done the other things. I had not. Now, I'd been in church. I'd done the church thing. I'd never repented of my sins. I'd never invited Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. He says, "I want you to think about joining the church." Well, I had to go to this class. Went to this class. And then after this class was over, we were all taken up to the front of the church, and they sprinkle water on us. Now, that's how we Methodists baptize. Now, we don't sprinkle here. We dunk you. With this bunch here, the more water we can get on you, the more sin. No, I'm just kidding. We believe that baptism is by immersion, okay? So we, in our church, you could be sprinkled, you could have it poured on you, or you could get dunked. Well, I wasn't given the option. I didn't care. But they sprinkle water on my head, and they baptize me in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I was a member of the church, but nothing in my heart changed. I was still religious. I was still going to church. I was still doing all of the church stuff. I was a part of the youth group. I did everything that church people do, going through we were always there. But I didn't know Christ. I was religious, but I didn't have a relationship. Through my teenage years, I went through some, I would call them, they would be tame compared to some folks. Jason Ramsey, hey, I was a saint compared to Jason Ramsey. But I wasn't a saint. I wasn't. I did things that I'm ashamed of. And I'm not confessing. This is not one of those kind of services where you confess all your sins. But I did things I was ashamed of. I got involved in all, wanting to date girls and chase girls. And me and Elbert Lindsay, I don't know if any of you know Elbert Lindsay, we used to try to chase girls. But we were afraid of catching them. Because when we caught them, we wouldn't know what to do. But boy, we wanted to chase them. And, we went through all of that. And, I went through a relationship in high school that ended badly. And I didn't know at the time that was probably a good thing. I would have not married the lady that I married if I would have married her. But I thought I was dying. I got my heart broke. And in the midst of that, God began to speak to me. God began to reach out to me. Here's the thing. I had been raised in church. I knew some of the things that was in the Bible. There was something there that the Holy Spirit could use to speak to me. If children are not raised in church, the Holy Spirit has nothing to speak to them through. That's why we say, get your kids in church. Get them in children's church. Get them in youth group. Get them involved. Yeah, they don't want to. Tough. Well, they might leave later. They might leave later. Hey, don't let them leave now. Let them leave later. My kids never had a choice about going to church. We go to church. Now, we try to make it around. We try to make it a fun thing. They're doing brain surgery over there right now. Brain surgery. We need a good volunteer for some brain surgery. Anybody want to volunteer to have their brain? Yeah, okay, yeah. They're doing brain surgery over there right now. They're taking a brain out and they're cleaning it and they're putting it back in. Children's Church, BCC, okay. But those kids have a ball. They learn the things of God. You say, are they learning the things of God? Yeah. We baptized four of them last Sunday morning that accepted Jesus as Lord. There's been some since then that have asked Jesus into their heart. Folks, we're preaching the gospel in this church. Not only in children's church, in youth group. Wednesday night, we had 300 kids here worshiping God. Saw you at the pole. It was great. People from all churches were here. I wish the senior pastors could get together like the youth pastors can and love one another and trust one another and do things together. It'd be wonderful. Raise your kids in church. They need to come. They need to be here. Well, so-and-so hurt their feelings. Teach them how to deal with relationships. I don't care where you go. If you go to school, you're going to get your feelings hurt. If you go, if you hang out with a crowd, you're going to get your feelings hurt. Why does that happen in church? Because there's people there. There's people there. People aren't perfect. Have you noticed that? Look at your neighbor and say, you're not perfect. Some of you wouldn't dare do that because it's your spouse. You've been telling your wife she's perfect. You're a liar. Okay. But through that, God began to speak to me. God began to draw me. Now, there's a couple things going on at this time. Before I was ever saved, I didn't know what was going on, but God was calling me to the ministry. I didn't know it. I remember as a kid on a sunny day, partly cloudy day, laying out and looking up at the sky and the beautiful clouds and the beautiful atmosphere and just feeling close to God. God was speaking to my heart. This is when I was a kid. When I went through this, I started reading the old Message Bible. And as I would read that thing would just jump out at me. It would speak to me. I could just see myself preaching that Bible. And I've been doing it for 30-something years now. But I wasn't saved. I was religious, but I wasn't saved. And I never will forget, and I've told this story before. I was going through a very difficult time. I felt like my world was crushed. For a year, I struggled. And this church that I'd gone to, a friend of mine, Champ Hawkins, a lot of you know Champ Hawkins, July the 6th, his dad died suddenly. He was delivering groceries for Barnett Supermarket and over there on the right in front of the old police station behind the library on the side street. He just pulled over and died. And I went to his funeral. Don't remember a thing because I had to set up in the choir area and the side room, and I didn't even get to go into the funeral. I really didn't hear anything that was said. I remember they preached and sang songs, and I slipped out the back and went across the street and was standing waiting for the funeral to be over. And when Champ and his family walked out, the Spirit of God came on me. I saw the peace of God in their lives. See, I knew what the gospel said. I'd read the Bible. Wasn't saved. I was religious. But God was dealing with me. See, I was rolling. Last week we talked about the fertilizing, and we talked about fertilizer's poop, okay? I rolled in poop for a year. All I had on me was poop. And you know, we all experience that in our lives. It's what you do with it. You'll either allow the hard things in life to define your life, or you'll use it as fertilizer to overcome. And I had rolled in that for a year. I was miserable. But in the midst of that, when I saw the peace of God come on them, I said to the Lord, Jesus, I want you as my Lord and Savior. I want you to come into my heart. I want to turn my life over to you. And you know what? I got born again right there. I can take you to the spot that I was standing on when it happened. It wasn't in a church house. It was after a funeral, standing across the street looking at where they came out at. My life began to change from that moment. As I said before, I was raised in church. I had to go to church. No more did I have to go to church. I look forward to going to church. Why? Because I had had a heart change. I had gone from religion to relationship. Now, there's a couple stories in the Bible, and I want to just tell them to you. One of them is the rich young ruler. Remember that story in the Bible? That this young man comes to Jesus, good-looking young man. He says, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And, you know, Jesus knew his heart. He said, you know what? You know what the law says. And he began to quote to him several things in the law. He says, you know, Lord, all of those things that I have done from my youth up, you know, here's what this guy was trying to do. He was trying to establish a relationship with God through the things that he had done, through the goodness of his life. You know, I didn't steal, I hadn't committed adultery, I haven't done any of those things. And the Bible says Jesus looked on him and loved him. He says, you know what, you lack one thing, because he was rich. He says, go your way and give all your goods to the poor, and you'll inherit eternal life. He said he went away sad because he had much wealth. He still had a problem. See, you can't be good enough to earn a relationship with God. Then there's another story. I mean, this is a picture of a religious man who didn't have a relationship. Then there's the story of Zacchaeus. Remember the story of Zacchaeus? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree. Okay, that was in Jericho. Jesus comes to Jericho, walks by that sycamore tree, says, Zacchaeus, come down. I'm coming to your house today. Jesus goes to his house. He has an encounter with Jesus. And you know what Zacchaeus said to Jesus? It's not what Jesus said to Zacchaeus. You know what Zacchaeus said to Jesus? He says, Lord, and he was a wealthy man too. He's a wealthy man too. He says, I'm giving half of all of my goods to the poor. And if I've defrauded any man, I'm going to repay him four times. You know what Jesus said to him today? Zacchaeus, salvation has come to your house. See, one was totally external. It was about what? I haven't committed adultery. I haven't lied. I haven't done this. I've been a good guy. Jesus struck to the root because he had a problem with money. Most people do have a problem with money. They're either afraid they don't have enough to pay their bills, or they're lusting after more, okay? But that's another subject. But here's Zacchaeus, because he had a heart change. He had a change of heart. He hadn't done good things. He had defrauded people. He knew he defrauded people. He admitted that he had defrauded people. But he had a heart change. And it changed his attitude towards his riches. Now, you can tell when a man's been changed, when it changes his attitude towards his stuff, okay? But he says, I'm giving half of all of my stuff to the poor. And if I've defrauded anybody, I'm going to repay him four times. Salvation came to his house. He had a relationship with Jesus. He didn't have religion. He wasn't that religious. See, there's a big difference. It kind of looks the same from the external. It all looks the same from the external. But there's a gulf fixed between the two. One will go to heaven, the other one will go to hell. That's a big chasm. One is man's effort to get to God. The other is God's effort through Christ to get to us. But it's up to us to choose. We're fixing to pray. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come if they would. So let me give you some takeaways here. Number one, we aren't saved by going to church. Now, saved people should go to church, but that's not what saves us. Serving God isn't enough to get into heaven. It's laying our will down for His. That's what's important. And to be saved, we must give God control of our lives. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying, Jesus, I'm no longer going to make decisions. I'm going to base decisions on what you have said. It's a big difference. So I'm asking you the question today, because I don't know. Only you know the answer to this question. Are you religious or do you have a relationship? They can look the same, but they're not the same. We're going to pray. Praise team is going to sing. You know, if you're here today and you're religious and you need a relationship with God, you can find it right here. Any one of these can pray with you to do that, where you can turn your life over to the control of Christ. You'll begin a journey. You'll have a heart change. You'll have a different perspective on life. You'll have somebody to walk through life with you. He'll turn your manure into fruit, because you'll know what to do with the hard things when they come. I want to pray. Then as they begin to sing, if that's you, I want you to come. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the work that you've done in so many lives here today, that they know you in reality. Thank you for drawing people to yourself. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for loving us when we're unlovely. Thank you for loving us when we're deceived. Thank you for loving us when we're just religious and you're drawing us to yourself. Thank you through Christ our Lord. Amen.